Hey everyone, welcome to Reality Wrap-Ups for this episode 4 of season 5 of The Amazing Race Canada. My name is Jessica Leeson. With me, as always, is the man who's always in line and frequently in sync, Mr. Dan Heaton. Dan, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, Jess. You know, I'm just feeling the excitement. Lots of wooing when people went to China. The first episode overseas is always, everybody always loves that.
Yeah, it's a really great time for everybody, almost mimicking the excitement of the very first time that teams way back in season 2 opened up their clues and were shocked to find out they would be leaving Canada. And it never gets old. It really never does. But I think we got to dive right in, as it were, and talk about our top story tonight. We were right. We are frequently right, and we were very right. This turned out to be a non-elimination leg in China so that we can bust it up into a two-parter and spend a little more time overseas. It feels good to be right, even if it wasn't exactly the most suspenseful thing.
Yeah, it felt good. You know, there was a thing where even if we hadn't guessed it, I just kind of got the sense, like when you had the last two teams there, I wasn't feeling the drama. Like, I don't know if it was just because we're used to it, but I had a feeling that Corey and Ivana would pass Andrea and Ebony, but I wasn't that concerned. And maybe that's just, you know, all the signs are there. We spent a lot of time before they even left for China, so we knew that perhaps this wasn't the end for anyone.
It's true. It's true. Well, I think maybe the back end had a little bit of non-suspense. I think the outcome was surprising.
Yeah, especially given how they started the episode, because they did really well on the tour and they seemed to be in pretty good. I mean, they had a decent problem at the detour, but Andrea and Ebony still seemed to be in pretty good shape going into the roadblock, where it seemed like that was hard enough where almost anything could happen.
It just felt like throughout the whole episode, I was sitting there thinking, wow, Corey and Ivana are really, really screwed. There's no way they're going to make this up. They could be hours behind. There's no way of knowing. And then they show up to the roadblock and everybody's still there. They've still got a chance. I have to give the show a little bit of credit there because I thought this was just going to be one of those episodes where there's like a little coda on the end and, oh, there's Corey and Ivana and they're still in it, but, you know, not by much. But it turned out that was not what happened at all. So I think back to Andrea and Ebony, I'd say they might be the most uneven team left on the board.
Yeah, they seem to be really good at certain things, like as we saw, and they generally don't get that stressed out when with types of tasks that generally could freak out some teams. But as we saw, it's almost like to me, I wouldn't just flip it around and say, because they're athletic. I mean, they're in decent shape, but they seem to do well at the tasks the opposite of Team Giver. Like, I don't know what it is, but they just seem to find their tasks where they struggle, yet they manage to hang on most of the way. But I don't know, as we saw in the roadblock, you know, where Ebony was saying, I'm not detail oriented, and this is very, very detail oriented. This is not going to be the last task that is on that level.
That is certainly true. There are detail tasks sprinkled throughout the race. And I feel like no other team left on the board really gets totally wrecked by a task the way that Andrea and Ebony do. And like maybe everybody else, their task is coming. We just haven't seen it yet. But for the most part, I think what we were saying last week about how everybody on the board seems pretty strong, I think that continued to track throughout this episode.
Yeah, because even though they finished last, it wasn't like a situation where they were, like we said, it was basically the roadblock. And so next week, I mean, who knows? I suspect, you know, it looks like they're doing some serious traveling next week across, you know, multiple countries. So there could be opportunities for a lot of crazy things to happen. And we may be surprised because I look at the group and I say, well, it looks like Andrea and Ebony would be the team to get eliminated in this type of double episode. You could pick any of the other six, edit notwithstanding, and they could go out.
Yeah, it's true. It seems pretty evenly distributed at this point. Although I don't want to get too much into like speculating on what next week looks like, but I think this seems like kind of an odd setup for an Amazing Race Canada leg. You don't usually see them doing this much traveling, like, do you think maybe this heralds a new era in Amazing Race Canada? Like, are we going Beijing to Shanghai to Bangkok to, I don't know, some other country? Or do you think we're going to eventually get back to Canada?
That's a good question. And also, too, if they end up in Bangkok, if they're going to go all the way to Thailand, are they going to just leave then? You would think there's a good chance we'll have three legs in a row overseas, because it would seem kind of strange, because next week, I think they said it's 24 hours and they're going to end up in Bangkok. But if they're going to spend time in Shanghai, you would think it would seem sort of strange then for the following week to be like, and now we'll fly back to Montreal or something. I'm not sure they're ready to totally go in one direction. But this may be a case where we have a really strong stretch of at least three legs, or, you know, if you count this as three episodes, probably a better way to put it. And then they go back. I don't think they're giving up on Canada, but they may do things differently this time. And it's gonna be interesting to see where we end up.
Yeah, I agree. On one hand, Bangkok is kind of one of the main airline hubs of East Asia. So it's very possible that they're just going to fly out of Bangkok to come back because there are a lot of direct flights. But on the other hand, Amazing Race US never passes up an opportunity to burn off an extra leg if they are going to go through a major airport hub. Like, how many times have we gone to Amsterdam for that very reason?
Yeah, exactly. It's so it could go either way. And the way I would normally think if they were going to do this way is they would next week go to Shanghai and then maybe go to Bangkok and fly out or something. But the fact that they're really pushing next week as having that much travel, that's a surprise for me. I thought they might even spend, you know, two episodes in the vicinity in Beijing or in the vicinity, like somewhere nearby, because they've already done so much traveling. The fact that they're going to two other large cities is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I got to hand it to Amazing Race Canada. Amazing Race US will stay put for as long as is possible before people start to get angry. And sometimes they really seem to overstay their welcome. Nobody will ever accuse Amazing Race Canada of doing that.
No, and I think I get the impression that, I mean, there were some hard tasks in this leg, but I have the feeling that, especially given the group that we have, that they could really be in store for some craziness the next 2 to 3 weeks as we go down to five teams and especially to four.
Yeah, you know, I gotta quibble on that, though. I didn't think this leg looked terribly difficult on pretty much any front. These all seemed like tasks that are shockingly similar or in some cases identical to things we've seen before. And I think it was very doable. Maybe not so much if you're just coming off a jet lag. It was probably much harder on that front. But the tasks themselves, really not much to write home about. Not to say it was a bad episode. It was just like, oh, they're going to do a synchronized dance. Oh, they're going to dive in the Olympic swimming pool. They're going to find something written in a different language. These are all pretty bog standard Amazing Race tasks, don't you think?
Yeah, no, and I agree on that. I was thinking more that it will get harder, but now it seemed like as much the challenge here was just getting to another country and maybe, as we saw with the team, possibly getting a cab to go to the right place. But most teams didn't have a problem with that. So it seemed to me this episode, and that's why it also felt kind of like a non-elimination leg, where this episode was really about, hey, everybody, isn't it amazing that we're going to another country? And hey, let's do a few cool things here. And then we'll move on. And next week, we'll really push them harder. That's kind of the feeling I'm getting, is this was more of the, wow, it's exciting to travel overseas. And here's your little pandas. And then we'll do a few things and we'll have some suspense. But really, this is more of a setup.
Yeah. And this is as much a product placement leg as the time the city of Sudbury paid off the Amazing Race to come and be in their city. Like, okay, good for you, Cinerama Tours. You got on TV and you found a way to make it not seem totally forced, only a little bit forced.
It was kind of weird that they went back to Vancouver again, even though it was really short. It was odd because they said fly to the Great Wall of China. And it's like, that's, you know, they wanted to read that clue because that's amazing. But first they have to fly to Vancouver, get off the plane, go find the travel agency. And I thought maybe there might be some sort of little task or something, but you knew they were all going to be on the same flight to China. So all of that was, I mean, it was kind of silly that they got their little package or whatever, but it was one of those things where with a double leg, you can spend 5 minutes doing that, I guess.
Well, Dan, it was very, very important that everybody not get on that plane without their little stuffed panda keychains.
Well, yeah. Of course, this was the great time, though, where we got the Team Panda shout out, which I had already forgotten that Corey and Ivana were Team Panda. Because they're not like Team Giver. We don't have a panda count at this point. The count would be at one. But, that'd be an easy drinking game. I could totally rock on that. And I appreciate that they're talking about inclusion and diversity, especially given the current climate. But that was about all I can say about it. They got a little panda. Cinerama is amazing. And we're moving on.
Corey and Ivana really needed to commit to their bit a little bit harder if they wanted us to remember that.
Yeah, and I almost forgot it again right now. If I wrote it down, that's a good thing. Because I like them as a team for a lot of reasons, but Team Panda does not have anything to do with it.
Yeah, no, I think the panda as a creature, I got no problems with, but the panda as a team concept for a team that's team colors aren't even black and white. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see if that comes up again, but yeah. At this point, it probably will come up again, I'd say. They're getting a lot of human interest type, you know, with her backstory and everything. They've spending a lot of time on our screens, I will say.
Well, that means one of two things, you know. That pretty much doesn't mean they're going out in the middle of the pack, but it could mean either one of the other two things.
Right, that they are the winner, or that they're like a fan favorite team that goes out in heartbreaking fashion further down the road.
Yeah, or they're out next and we're just getting a minute with them.
Three things then. You only listened to, I guess, wrong. But yeah, no, that could be right. They really like this team. They think they're likable. Unfortunately, we may lose them. But the preview kind of gave away a possible problem for them, which would seem like it really telegraphing it if it actually leads them to being eliminated.
That is true. If they end up going an hour in the wrong direction, I can't wait to see what another team does that is worse than that.
Yeah, there's no Great Wall of China to show up on the wrong side next week, I guess.
Yeah, nobody's going to Inner Mongolia that I know of.
You never know. I mean, with all this travel, that driving an hour the wrong way, who knows what else could happen? That, you know, maybe a team gets on the wrong boat and they go to the wrong country. I mean, who knows? But I think it's going
to
be fun.
I'm still disappointed that no team has ever actually managed to go to the wrong country.
Yeah, that one team almost went to North Korea, but they were stopped before that happened. But yeah, so teams have come close to going to other countries that were not part of the race. But maybe this is our time next week. Maybe we're doing a good job with predicting. I mean, our team drafting has been really good. We picked them out of elimination. Maybe we're just on to something this season.
Maybe. So speaking of being right, I mean, Sam and Paul getting their moment in the sun. I told you that was a good pick.
Yeah. And not only were they also were all over the screen this week. It was almost like they were narrating us, maybe because of where they finished. But we talked about how we hadn't seen that much of them and because they're in the middle. And hey, they're first and they're all over it. They get to make fun of Team Giver. They get to, you know, there's just a lot of Sam and Paul on this episode. And they are a likable team. So I don't know. Maybe have we given them enough credit so far in terms of their personalities? They're great racers, we can see, but personality wise.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you, Dan. They're not the total game bots that I painted them as. I actually kind of liked them. I thought they were entertaining this leg. They were kind of funny. They were charming. We got to hear a little bit about their backstory. I was thinking these guys are not the second coming of Gino and Jesse. And, you know, not to rag on Gino and Jesse again, even though that's kind of our favorite thing around here. But they turned out to be surprisingly human, even as they had their most perfect leg.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the perfect comparison to Gino and Jesse, I was thinking about this, is when they actually did the tour that they gave. And they were very personable. And, you know, as they were preparing, they were singing and they had the whole thing that was the exact opposite. Like that would have been the moment where they were just like really flat and like, okay, guys, here's what we're doing and everything. They were charming. So I think perhaps this could be something to track, that they even mentioned it. They said, oh, we're kind of been in the middle. It was almost like they were admitting that they probably figured they weren't going to be on the show much, but they're a team. They're a good team. So I think you're right. I think that we probably underestimated the interest level. And then also I think your pick is proving to possibly be very wise.
Yeah, they're starting to heat up. They really are.
They are up to Cinerama standards, unlike some of the others.
They certainly are. They're earning that panda.
So, of course, the tour guide task is that last week I talked about how tasks always seem impossible. And then when I hear about them and then when people do them and I watch, I think that wasn't bad at all. Would you qualify this task as falling into that category?
Absolutely. 100%. I thought when I heard about it, like, you're going to memorize a script. There's words in three languages. I'm like, they could have some really exacting standards. They're asking them to deliver some words in Chinese. It's a tonal language. We've seen Chinese language tasks like totally kill teams in the past, which we're even going to get into in a little while. But it was really, there was a lot of leeway there.
Yeah, this time, with a few exceptions, teams did not have a hard time. I mean, you saw a bunch of teams do it in one try. You had a few teams that struggled, but in general, this was not the hardest memorization task that we've seen. In fact, it was one of the easier ones I think we've seen on the Canada show.
I would even say it's easier than the one where you had to read off the teleprompter.
Yeah, I agree, which is odd to say, but I agree because it did seem to be, though they had three languages, which is also not, I like it that you see some of the teams speaking French. That's their actual, you know, their language. And a task like this is as much just to kind of reinforce the international focus of this show, especially the Canada version. But in terms of difficulty, I mean, really, the point was just so you could see a few teams get thumbs down. That was about all it was really, we wanted to see teams get the serious thumbs down face so they could show in the preview.
Yeah. Did you notice that was the same tour group every time?
Yes, I did. So that could have been painful if teams were really bad at it.
Yeah, I was thinking, I bet the tour group could probably give the tour just as well as anybody else.
Yeah, and they seemed really excited when they got it right. I think they were cheering as much like, oh, thank God this team's gone. We have another team out. Not just they were cheering because the teams they wanted to root them on.
I really loved that they booed the teams when they were bad.
That's what I was saying. I think the main purpose of this task is just so that you can watch some teams get booed, because you don't see it as much in the Canada version, but the U.S. version loves to bring in locals that they hire or something and then have them laugh at all the teams and just talk about how silly they are. This wasn't on that level, but there were a few moments at that point.
I think I know too much about how the Amazing Race sausage gets made, because one thing that was kind of ruining this task for me was thinking about the fact that just off camera, there was a producer standing there and the whole crowd was looking at that producer waiting to find out what their actual reaction should be. And there was nothing natural about them booing or cheering.
Right. And actually, since you bring that up, the diving judging, I think, came from that same thing.
Yep.
Because what did the numbers really mean? I mean, I know that a team got a zero, which wasn't really funny, but in general, they were just doing it to like, okay, you did all right. Let's add it up to 18. You did okay. Add it to 19. I did not get the impression those three judges were making their own calls at all.
Producer was standing off camera. I'm like, okay, you hold up a 6, you hold up an 8. And then they were so close, they didn't get it. So you're going to hold up a 5.
Exactly. And, you know, there's someone with like a calculator. They're like, hold on. Yeah. 6. no, wait, 5. But yeah. And it didn't make the task terrible, but because it's hard to really, when you have something like a diving task, there has to be some metric, and it's really hard to, even in the Olympics, I find it kind of hard when they're judging to see what it really is. But, and I did feel like when people did well, you could tell. But it did feel a little more artificial, even the way that everything was put together, which is not my favorite thing when with The Amazing Race.
It's true. And they showed the exact same shot. I think it was Andrea and Ebony's dive. They showed that same shot about 5 times.
You mean the same bad dive that they made? The same
bad dive. And they're like, oh, we're so bad at this. Like, no, that's the same bad dive you did the first time.
Are you sure that they just weren't exactly the same five times in a row, equally bad every time? I don't know, Jess. I think you're just tinfoil hat. Totally. There's just no way.
Well, if they had that level of consistency, they should have passed the task anyway.
Well, the problem is that they were practicing on the springboard, which to me, I think, is much harder. But I don't know if we're jumping ahead too much at this point.
Well, I think we should talk about this because I think Amazing Grace Canada may have been counting on us not to remember this. But my memory goes back 7 years to Amazing Grace season 14, where pretty much this exact task was presented as half of a detour, except I think the Amazing Race US version involved the springboard and was basically impossible for everybody.
Yeah, basically. But the difference there is the other option was just to swim, which I know Keisha and Jen had a really hard time with the swimming. So they were kind of doomed and ended up last, but weren't eliminated. But for that, for me personally, because I swim a lot, I'd be like, oh, put me in the pool. I'll be done with this in 10 minutes. Forget the diving. But I think having the dance and having it be somewhere else made the decision a bit harder for a lot of the teams because dancing is no picnic. I think that was the easier one, but going off the high dive, if you can get your timing right, like you basically just go 3, 2, 1, go, that's different than the springboard. So this in a way was easier sort of in a different way, I guess.
Well, you know, like they say in Toy Story, it's not flying, it's falling with style.
Yeah, basically. And some of the ones weren't great style, like even Zen Shabir, who got through it pretty quickly. But I would say that that Shabir himself is not a world class diver. You know, his legs were apart, whatever. But it was all they saw it, though. It was all timing. You know, if you timed really poorly, like we saw with a few teams, it did not work out where one was still standing on the board. but really, the whole point, I mean, it was mostly timing. Obviously, there was other situations because Ivana's back. That is something they couldn't have foreseen, but because it had to be bad enough where she couldn't even just kind of fall off the board.
Well, I mean, think about the mechanics that are involved in doing a dive. And I think an error that a lot of people make is they kind of overcorrect and they end up kicking their legs over so they land on their back. And I think that might have been what happened to Ivana. But regardless, like as someone who's had some back trouble myself, and you know, 60% of adults over the course of their lives are going to have back pain at some point, I felt for her. Like that couldn't have been fun. It had to have been really disappointing to have to go through the rest of the leg in last place, in so much pain, and not being able to be your best self. That was rough.
Yeah, I actually had back issues. And a few months ago, I had like it pulled and I was trying to open a beer, like a bottle, and I could not move my arm. Like it was only for like a night this way, but I could not move my arm to open it. And I know this sounds like the biggest like whiny first world problems thing ever. Like, oh, he couldn't open his beer. But if you can't move like that, trying to do an Amazing Race task, I mean, I'm not sure hers was that bad, but the fact that she gritted her way and got through the dancing, and that's the thing. It was awesome because, you know, he picked her up and ran around and then she's like, my back. But the fact that she got through that, that's a great sign because you could tell she's not somebody who would just give up quickly. It had to really hurt.
I'm taken back to Coach and Survivor Tocantins rolling around on the ground in agony after an endurance challenge. And I'm thinking Ivana would kick that guy's ass.
Yeah, I'm really rooting for them. So it was fun to see them get through it. And any team, when you go through that and you see, I mean, they were so close. I think they even got an 18 or 19 by the very strict, not artificial diving scores. But I thought that would be easier than the dance. But there was something about that motion and really high dives, like just jumping off a high dive, that really can hurt if you don't land right. So I understand that, too. If she landed weird, that's like you smack into the water pretty good, even from not a huge height.
Yeah, and that was a pretty huge height. I mean, everybody had to have some killer wedgies at that point.
Yeah, some like giant, well, not welts, but there probably were some like red. They're very red by the end of it, I would say. I don't know how to call that, you know, but something like that. And of course, wedgies on the very, as Shabir noted, the very revealing swimsuits for the men.
Yeah, they probably had wedgies from the get-go.
Yeah, which I don't know. I don't know if those were totally necessary, but hey, you know, the show likes to put people in uncomfortable situations. They make them wear goofy costumes. So when you swim, you got to wear something like that.
And I think it's worth noting that the Olympic Committee banned those laser swimsuits. So they couldn't do that half of the detour because they couldn't make people go into those tiny, tight, full body things. And where's the pity?
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that the super Michael Phelps suit that they got to wear and made them, I guess, faster. But not this time. So, yeah, we had the diving again. It's kind of one of those things where I thought the diving was a fun task and was difficult enough. I don't know. The dancing. What do you think about the dancing? I found it entertaining to watch teams struggle. But I wasn't completely sure. I mean, the dancing did have the backstroke in it, so it was kind of related to swimming, I guess. But I didn't totally understand. If you asked me to recreate the dance, I wouldn't totally get it.
I liked Adam and Andrea's narration of the dance while they were performing it. Like the, you know, swim, swim, swim.
Yeah, he only likes to dance, though, when it's dark in a club. So this wasn't normal for him.
Well, and honestly, this was not the most exciting dance task we've ever seen. Like, I kept flashing back to, for instance, the very first season of Amazing Race Canada, when they had to line dance in Calgary, and how heartbreaking that was and how strict they were with the judging, and this judge not quite as strict.
Yeah, and the show, Amazing Race Canada in general, like, we had, I think season three was the dance-a-thon season. I think it was season three, or I'm trying to remember if it was last season, but we haven't had much this season. And while I did find the music kind of catchy, it was no Shine a Light, but it it's one of those tasks where the thing I remember most is like Adam and Andrea backstroking, and I don't know, and Corey and Ivana's celebration. But we didn't really see that much of it either, because we saw a lot of the diving. It took a while to get to that point, and then the roadblock took a while. So the dance almost seemed like, even though multiple teams did it and succeeded, it was kind of an afterthought.
Well, I think this is a memo to Amazing Race US editors. I think we got the gist. We got enough of it. We know what happened. We know how people did. That was all we needed. We don't need 20 minutes of it just because it's one of the tasks in the episode. And that way you can get more involved. You can put more tasks in. You can see more of the city. It's a win-win for everybody.
Right. You don't need every task, especially the detours, which is where they seem to fall into this. We don't have to know, okay, they're going to, like, we don't need a checkbox at the bottom telling us when they hit every move for every single person, because that can get old pretty quick. And I wanted to mention one more thing about the diving task. Did you notice that there was one point where a team got a 666 score?
I did notice that.
Which I believe that was Corey and Ivana, which I guess maybe then they were cursed at that point.
That was the most evil dive.
I don't know. I had to mention that just because, you know, it comes to people's mind when you see, and I'm sure there was some Amazing Race Canada producer that when they put the two sixes up and they could have done a five, they were like, six again, you know, and they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they definitely did. So, yeah, I think that covers the detour. Like, we, you know, just as the show didn't spend the whole episode on it, we don't have to spend our whole episode on it either. I think we kind of get the point. And it really wasn't the tasks that were the problem for anybody this episode. It was a lot more of navigation and cabs. And I think Corey and Ivana would have finished much stronger if it had not been for the world's slowest cab driver.
You know what I found great was they had this guy who just looked, this is not the first time we've seen this. When you have the language barrier, so the guy can't explain what's going on with him, so they're just in the back like, I hope he's okay. Like, is there something wrong? And then the pure Amazing Race Canada, they totally get done. They're in last place and they're just like, we wish him all the best. We really do. And I'm like, you know, you'd think they have a case where they could totally be furious. And I'm sure they were on the inside, but they couldn't even help it. They still were like, well, I hope that guy's all right.
Like Brenchel's cab driver in season 24 and the finale, when they're going 3 miles an hour and they're just like furious the whole time. This is a very different scenario.
Yeah. It's like they're trying. You know, they're competitors, you know, they want to win, but they're in a different country. And it's like, they still have that thought like, okay, I don't want to make him mad. And, you know, and I would understand, I mean, Brenchel, is the extreme other end. But I understand cases where teams get really furious. And for Corey Nevada's credit, they did eventually get out of that cab. And who knows, they might have been last if they had. Well, I mean, who knows? They might still be in that cab if they hadn't gotten it by now. So it's good.
I'm envisioning this scenario where a team is like, oh, this guy's driving so slow. Hope he's all right. Sir, are you okay? And he pulls over to the side of the road and he's like, you know, I'm really glad someone asked me that. It's really been a rough week for me. You see, you know, my wife left me and I'm just having this existential crisis and I'm glad I've got a shoulder to cry on, you know, and like launching into his whole life story and they're stuck there and they're like, well, yeah, but we're in a race and I want to be human, but I don't want to be here.
Well, you have like Corey sitting next to him, like, okay, yeah, I understand. And he's like giving the nod to Ivana, like, flag down another cab. Like, you know, go get it. It's like, sir, good luck. And then they go on, something in a nice way. But I just have touches like that I like, though, because you have teams recognize and the show recognizing to a point, but the teams especially recognize, okay, we're in another country. This guy, who knows what's going on in his life? You know, I hope it's not on the level of what you just described, but maybe he's just a little groggy. He forgot to drink his coffee or something, but or something else. But, you know, it's fun. It's the little touches, like in a leg where it's not every task isn't thrilling. It's the little touches that keep me excited about the show.
Yeah, it's too bad they didn't still have that guy when they stopped by the pharmacy. Like maybe there was something there that could have helped him.
They could have gotten him some sort of herbal remedy, though. I'm not sure if they could have figured out exactly what they would need to give him that would help from the pharmacy, I guess.
Well, you know, it didn't take him long to knock that roadblock out.
Yeah. I mean, who knew? Corey he's not messing around. You think he's like a beefy guy, you know, who's really strong. He's also got the details. And so that's if they could ever get their driving navigation issues together, they could be a force. But that's a pretty big if. That's a big part of the Amazing Race. So you could be the greatest team at TAS ever. But if you get bad luck, this was kind of bad luck. But if you get bad luck or get lost or whatnot, you could be gone. And I'm hoping that is not their story.
Well, you know, I hate to keep bringing up the most boring team of all time, but I can think of another team that was very, very good at tasks and very, very not good at traveling internationally. And that team went on to win the entire thing.
Yeah. You're talking about Steph and Kristen? No, I'm kidding. No, Gino and Jesse. Yeah. I think one of the legs, they were like 10th. That was when we had a 12 team season. And they were like 10th one leg or 11, 10th out of 11, I think, in the second leg or something. And then another leg, they were like 8th. This is off the top of my head, so please nobody tell me how wrong I am. But they had some weak legs. And then once they hit back to Canada, it was like first, second, first, first. Now, I think this group is stronger, so I don't see that happening. But I do see a case where if they can kind of get their legs under them a little better, they... You know, and they're not the only team that's like that. We've seen Adam and Andrea have had issues, though they seem to not be as good. Adam and Andrea have a really good relationship, but I think it's helping them get through tasks that, especially with him, that might be a real problem.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. They seem to be a good counterbalance to each other, Adam and Andrea do.
I agree, because he seems to be like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to do this. Or even with her, where she was like, thought she couldn't do something, but... In both cases, the other one's reassuring and they eventually are like, okay, we need to switch. We will, or we'll go back. That's a good thing to have in your team. And I say this, I mean, they're looking at them. Their finishes haven't been that high except for last week. Same with Corey and Ivana. But we ended up talking about these teams because I just get this feeling like I look at Karen and Bert, who finished ahead of them a few different times. And even though I drafted them, they don't feel like a top three team as much as some of these other ones.
No, they definitely do not. Like Karen and Bert are just screaming middle of the pack. From day one, they've been screaming that to me. They've been screaming it like with a beat because they're rappers, you know, but.
Yes, we're aware.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them. Like they're okay in tasks, but they're never great. Like the one time we thought they could have won the leg, they were really, really not even close to winning it. And so I really think they need to step it up in a huge way if I'm to change my opinion of them. But I would be willing to bet that they are out in the next 3 weeks.
Did you also notice the through line from last week where they came out of the detour, I believe? And he said, I think we're second. We might be third. And they were fourth at that point or something. And it's like, are we sensing a pattern here where they're going to think they're okay and they're going to get eliminated? I don't know. This 2 weeks in a row, this has happened. So, and I like them too, but it's just, you kind of get a sense about teams. And we're not always right. Like, it could be, there's a lot of everyone that, like, there's five teams where I'm like, those are in the top three. That's not going to happen. But you can kind of sense which teams might make it and which won't.
Yeah, I can see the sand like slipping through the hourglass for Karen and Bert.
Right. So who wants to play doctor? That's the question on the minds of everyone here with the roadblock.
And dang, that could be anything. I think they got lucky.
It's like, oh, my gosh, I don't even want to know. But the roadblocks seem to be mostly about details, right? I mean, the trick was you really had to pay attention to the symbols. Everything else just seemed like once you found what you needed, it was just kind of pretty straightforward, right? I didn't totally understand what they were doing throughout the roadblock, so I might need help here.
Well, the thing that confused me was the sheet that we were shown when John was explaining the task had some like grid numbers on it in English. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, if they only have to find like 10G, they just got to like count over the number of things they need to find. And they must not have had that on the sheet they were given, because otherwise that seems like it would be pretty ridiculously easy.
Right. And it didn't look easy. I mean, you saw teams, even, you know, Shabir got there first and he spent a while there and he was able to do it without all of the, I mean, they ended up second, but he was able to do it without all the people on top of him, which is what eventually happened, where pretty much every team was there. I mean, except for Corey and Ivana, everyone else was there. So that must have taken some serious time, because while teams weren't totally spread out, you have to suspect that at least one through six had to be an hour or something.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, but there's another thing we've got to point out about this particular task was nobody appeared to ever get it wrong. So I don't think a task is going to be that hard if there's like no margin to screw it up. Maybe they just don't want these people like messing up this carefully organized system of homeopathic drugs. But I was really surprised that everybody seemed to get it right on the first try.
That's a good point. The only other thing is, Maybe Ebony did get it wrong a few times and we just didn't see it. But at least if you believe the edit, it did seem like the whole trick was just finding what you needed to find. And once you found it, everything else was pretty straightforward, which doesn't lead to really thrilling TV. But honestly, because some teams were still dancing and diving and everything, the show didn't, again, because there were multiple tasks, like you mentioned, didn't get stuck focusing on something that was dull for that long.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of Amazing Race Canada. I have a lot of tasks. So when the interesting stuff happens, you can show it. And when it's boring, you got enough other stuff that it doesn't feel like you're dragging.
Exactly. So I think that's about it. Do you think Zed and Shabir are really angry because they want a trip to Chicago and Sam and Paul got a trip to China?
I would be crying unfair. But on the other hand, you know, if you're really disappointed with your free trip to Chicago, maybe you should just win another leg.
And probably the taxes are lower on the Chicago one. So maybe they're okay there.
Yeah, maybe so. And, you know, the Canadian dollar's rebounding a little bit, I think. They'll probably be okay in Chicago.
Yeah. So are we ready to do some questions?
Yeah, let's definitely do some questions.
So first of all, we'll knock this out quickly. This is the first time we've gotten this question. Joel Wiglenga, he wants an update on our draft.
Somebody cares about the draft?
What? I'm purposely trying not to spend too much time on it because people might not care. But I guess we can give a quick update. My summary is Jess is in really, really good shape. That is all I will say there.
I think so. I've still got all my teams. All my teams look like they're not sucking. I mean, Rob's out of it.
Yeah, Team Rob is gone. Yeah, you had the first place team, Sam and Paul. You've got Adam and Andrea and Corey and Ivana. I think you've got at least one of the final three, possibly, probably one, maybe more. I have Team Giver, and I have Karen and Bert, unfortunately. And I already lost Dan and Rhea. And then Mike Bloom has Zed and Shabir and Andrew and Ebony. So I think he's got a finalist too. But it's up in the air. I think, Jess, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, I think I'm in pretty good shape. But, you know, nobody was holding a gun to your head making you pick Team Giver.
You know, they are doing good. I don't feel like as far as the picking of the group, that that was a bad pick. The Karen and Bert pick, I mean, they're still around, so it wasn't like a disastrous pick like I've did last season where I think I picked the first four teams that were out. So I think I'm okay. I'm feeling like I may not be the best, but this can't be as bad as Amazing Race 29 US or the last season of Canada.
I think you might still squeak through with a team in the finals. I liked Joel's other question, to be honest, because I thought the exact same thing. He said, is Rip and Reed the new Spin and Grin?
Oh, it's got to make that happen. It could be. I don't know. I don't know if anything should be that. Spin and Grin is not something that I really want to put as like a standard. So maybe it's better than Spin and Grin.
It seemed marginally less forced, but you know, I got my eye on you, John Montgomery. Don't be trying to make catchphrases happen. You are better than that.
Is he though? So I wanted to bring up something where we had two people make statements that were exactly the opposite. So we have not even talked about this yet, so it's perfect. Ace Shizzle said, I love that Amazing Race Canada finds fun Canadian things when traveling to foreign countries. Hashtag weekly ball hockey. Jessica Frey said, I get it's TR Canada, but why are they going to the Canadian embassy when they travel to China? So what is your thought on this? I have an opinion, but I'd love to get your thought on one on this task or this moment. And do you think they should do stuff like this?
I have always loved the way that they tie every visit abroad back to Canada, because it is a Canadian show and they do want to keep the Canadian spirit alive. I do think that going to the Canadian embassy was a little bit of a stretch, unless they needed to like get their visas verified or something. Like if there was an actual administrative thing that they didn't show on screen, then I'm back in on this. But also, it sure seemed like John did his pickups in the day and it was like broad daylight while the hockey game was going on. And yet it was still going on at night when all the teams started to roll up. So I feel a little bad for whoever had to sit there for 8 hours and play hockey.
Yeah, the hockey game looked fun. But I did wonder about that when it was night and teams were spread out. And I'm like, that game's going to go on for so long. Though I suspect that perhaps the game started when they knew teams were coming. What do you think? Am I crazy? Again, are we talking too much about artificial Amazing Race?
You're not crazy. That's exactly how it happened. I mean, I've organized homegrown versions of the Amazing Race. I did one in like the middle of December in New York City. Probably not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life, but I was managing a task where I had to sit outside in Herald Square. And one of the teams ended up being like 30 minutes ahead of every other team. And we just texted each other, like everybody at the tasks would text each other. And so I was able to like go and sit in Starbucks for half an hour waiting for the rest of the teams to show up.
Yeah, that's probably what these guys were doing, though. If they were there all day, who knows, maybe they were having a party and then, oh yeah, we got to go play hockey on TV for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, there are worse things to break up a party with.
That is true. So what else? What else do you think we should ask?
Lindsay Wilson in our Facebook group asks, how great was Zed's John impression? Also, Sam and Paul's sarcastic giver made me like them way more. Well, we've talked about Sam and Paul needling giver, and I agree, that's pretty great. The giver count, as far as I can tell, if we're counting other people saying giver in addition to Team Giver saying giver, I think we're at about 25 givers. Giver or take a few.
You need to tell these teams need to stop saying giver. Though I actually feel like my guess, I'm in the ballpark, I think.
Yeah,
I think I'm heading right.
We're up to episode 4, but yeah, Zed's John impression, that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and the way it went by so fast, like you almost could barely tell, but he made it seem so effortless. He just like threw it in there. And I was like, if I wasn't looking at the screen, I don't know. I might think that was John. They're so talented, that team. They can't go wrong.
They can do it all.
Exactly. Let me see here. Now, I think we've covered a lot of these questions already. Like even some of the questions about whether we're seeing all the givers, I think we covered that in another episode. So yeah, and they also don't see, I think because of the express passes, we saw so much of Team Giver and they won the first leg. We didn't really see a ton of them this time. I mean, you know, John did the whole from British Columbia to China or something at the mat. But in general, I guess because they were in the middle, they just kind of, I don't have much to say about them this week.
Yeah. I mean, they really didn't giver us much.
which is okay. We don't need it. The first episode was too much.
I'm good.
Yeah. But no, fun leg. I think next week we're in store for hopefully even more fun.
Yeah, I think got to give a special shout out to John John in the Facebook group who pointed out that this was the pit stop from that same leg in season 14 of the U.S. version. And Dan, that does lead me to one kind of general interest question. Like, how do you feel about seeing legs or chunks of legs repurposed from other versions of the show? Like, does that something that bothers you? Or do you think like there are so few of us that actually watch the international versions that it ends up really not mattering?
It's kind of, you kind of hit on both things in your question. Personally, I'm always wanting to see things I haven't seen before. So while the diving was entertaining, I would rather see something that we haven't seen as a fan and someone who's seen the US version. For the purposes of the show, I get it, because like you said, you kind of answered it in your question. They're unlikely to have a huge quantity of people. I'm sure they have crossover, you know, definitely. But I think when they make the show, they're not thinking, oh, they did this on The Amazing Race US 15 seasons ago. I mean, they probably know it, but if it was done last season, I think it would be worse. But so personally, I don't really like it, but I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, you're almost never going to watch it back to back. I think if you're binging Amazing Race, it's still highly unlikely that you're going to run into like the same tasks next to each other in a short amount of time. They tend to spread them out. And it is the same production company in a lot of cases. So I can see where they're like, oh, yeah, we know where this factory is, where we can do this task. And it worked really well, so we know it'll work for us. And I can see from a production standpoint where it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, sometimes it's just like, for me, it's like, oh, happy memories. I remember season 14. That was a good season.
Yeah, it was. And also, I will say, the thing that bugs me a little more is when you have a lot of tasks that feel similar. Like, if they're going to pull a good task from 15 seasons ago, you know, however, 7 years or more, that's okay if it's a cool thing. But like, I think you've mentioned that a few times this season, that you're like, these tasks are things we've seen. And that's something that I hope I don't see more of, because you're going to have some tasks that are similar, but you want to see kind of new, crazy things. We definitely saw some crazy things last season. Like, I think of like smelling the flowers and just, you know, some really complicated things, or, you know, this one where they had to go and do the Western scene in season 3. I want to see kind of crazy, more out of the box things. And I hope we're going to get them more this season.
I mean, we've got a plethora of things to choose from. You don't have to go straight to the really iconic ones to repurpose something and still make it feel fun.
Definitely. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm enjoying the season, and the cast is great. Like every season has pretty much been. And it's one of those things where I feel like we're on the cusp, hopefully, of a string of really great episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to next week. I just hope that everybody manages their pee breaks correctly.
It's very important. You don't want to mess around with that.
Yeah. You know what happens when you do.
Yes. You get eliminated in very unfortunate fashion.
All right, Dan. So I got a couple of administrative notes. I want to thank everybody who's weighing in with questions and comments. We love the feedback. We love hearing from you guys. There's a lot of different ways you can reach out to us during the week. You can tweet at us is probably the easiest way to get in touch. You can tweet at me at Haymaker Hattie. And Dan, what's your Twitter?
I am at the Dan Heaton.
And we love hearing from you about the episode, and don't worry about spoiling us. Like, obviously we aren't flying to Canada to catch the show every week, but we don't worry too much about being spoiled because it's all going to come out in the wash anyway. So you can even tweet us questions as you are watching, which happened many times this week. People were basically live tweeting at us, so I kind of had to turn my notifications off during the episode itself. But I didn't mind. Like, seriously, just get your questions to us when you can, as you think of them. We're going to be fine, really. You can also leave comments on the episode thread at robhiswebsite.com. Just go to the page where our episode is, and there's space for comments. It's a great place to get in touch with us. And there's one other way. where you could get in touch with us. And that is over on Facebook. We have a special patron-only Facebook group for people that have been contributing to the continued success of Rob Has a Podcast. You can do that through our Patreon at robhasawebsite.com/Patreon. And that gets you access to all kinds of cool stuff. It's a chance to reach out to other fans. You get cool prizes and perks, special patron-only podcasts. And the most important thing, if you do not live in Canada and you want to watch Amazing Race Canada, here's how you get in touch with other people that know how to do it. They will give you all the tips they have. And sometimes it's harder some weeks than other weeks. This week was particularly hard. Dan and I both had a lot of trouble finding the right place to watch the episode, but we got it done and we knew what we were doing. So if you want to get in touch with other fans and have the hookup on all of the links to find the Amazing Race Canada, if you yourself are not Canadian, that's one great way to do it. And we highly encourage your support over at the Patreon group. So with that, Dan, I think that's everything. Do we have a hashtag this episode?
Oh, man. Let me think about this. I was thinking about the pandas again, but I don't really have a good name. Or we could have like sad cab driver or something. I don't know what we could get with that guy.
Evil dive.
Oh, yes. The 666 dive. I like evil dive. I think that's good.
All right. So if you got it all the way to the end and you want to tweet us to let us know, you can just tweet us with the hashtag evil dive. We love it. So thanks once again, Dan, or should I say Shia Shia, for bearing with me this week. We had some technical difficulties and Dan was a trooper and we had a fun podcast, I think.
Yeah, it was a blast. And I love the live tweeting. I also had to dodge a few of them, but it's really fun to watch the show and then get to look back at what people were thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. So highly encouraged. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll see you next week for the thrilling conclusion of this Super League.